Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Bardic Babble, the show where we talk to creatives about the things that they create. Joining me today is the DMing duo of Haley and Gus of Unprepared Casters. We talk about cultivating your audience, what it means to work with your best friend, and if you stay tuned to the end of the episode, we chat a little bit about Ice Age, the animated series by Blue Skies. So, buckle in, let's get ready for some fun, but before we dive into it, we're going to do a quick little ad read. Alrighty friends, welcome back to Bardic Babble, the show where we talk to creatives about the things that they create. Joining me tonight, I have the dynamic DM duo of Haley and Gus of Unprepared Casters. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
Also doing good. Thanks for asking.
Yes!
Woo! How are you doing tonight?
You know what? Thank you for asking. I'm well. Got a little bit of a bug, but we're here. We're having fun. We're jamming. That's all that matters. All right. For those of us at home that don't know the two of you and your online personas, can we take a second and just dive into it? We'll start with Haley. Who are you? What is your role within Unprepared Casters, and what is your favorite D&D trope?
Oh, okay.
I get to think about this one, I get a different question.
My name is Haley Whipjack, or Whipjack, whatever you want to call me is fine, as long as you're respectful about it. And I am one half of the hosting team of Unprepared Casters. I DM every other arc. I do half of the behind the scenes work. I have a good time, and I love the show. My favorite D&D trope is meeting in a tavern. I love that you meet in a tavern. I think it's great. I don't think anyone should ever make fun of it. It's the best. Thank you.
Gus.
Hello.
Who are you? What is your role? And we'll stick with the trope. What is your favorite D&D trope?
Okay, I didn't have time to think of something. I'll see what comes out of my mouth. Hi, my name is Gus. My full name is Gus Rachels. You might know me as Gus the Bard on TikTok. I'm going to change that soon, I think, just so I'm more consistent across all platforms. Got to get that out there. I am also one half of the hosting duo of Unprepared Casters. I would say that in Unprepared Casters, the role that I serve is the role of dungeons. And whereas Haley is the role of dragons.
I missed saying I was dragons. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. That's why you have the dungeons here. I also, DM half the arcs. I play in the arcs that I don't DM. I handle stuff with Haley behind the scenes. A particular task that I do that I'm quite proud of is that I add the music to all the episodes, which is a very fun little weekly project I get to do. And my favorite trope in D&D, I don't know if it counts as a trope, but the thing that attracted me to D&D at first was the idea that when you die, you have to make a new character. I'm not sure that that's a trope, but I guess.
Think that counts.
Is permadeath a trope?
No.
Does that not count?
It's a facet of the game.
Dang it. Okay.
I love you so much. That doesn't count.
Then I guess my favorite trope is anything involving some sort of heroic self-sacrifice.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I dig it. All right. So, both of you, I know your content via TikTok. What led you both to hitting the record button over on TikTok and starting the journey that is Unprepared Casters now?
Oh boy, as far as TikTok, I got into D&D TikTok pretty much as I got into TikTok. Like the second I realized people were doing D&D things, I was like, oh, I play that game. I love that game. Like my second ever TikTok was D&D.
Wait, what was your first ever TikTok?
It was the Magnus Archives.
Oh, okay.
And then I went right into D&D. Mm-hmm. And I found a lot of success with that very weirdly quickly. And Gus found me when he was making music TikToks.
That's right.
When you were Gus Plays Tunes, yes?
That was my original at.
I'm so good at being a friend.
Yeah, I use TikTok pretty casually. Like, I like had the app downloaded and would like open it when I was on the toilet, which was kind of my relationship to TikTok for months. And then after a while, I was like, oh, I could use this to promote my music because I've been writing and recording original rock music since I was like 11 years old. So I
he's got a Spotify page. It's good.
I sure do. Thank you.
I'll hawk it. I like it.
And so I was like, oh, I see musicians on here. So I was on music TikTok at first. I was on like indie music TikTok at first. And so I was like, I'll use this to promote my music. Did that for a few weeks. Saw a video that Haley posted where she was singing in her car about wanting to play D&D instead of going to work, which spoke to me on a spiritual level. So I did this thing that I saw that people do a lot, which is that I duetted it and I played a lot. I added accompaniment, right? So I played guitar. I figured out what her notes were and I played guitar and she saw it and she...
Impressive that you could find any notes in what I was doing.
Messaged me. She was like, wow, this is so cool. So we followed each other. And then after a while, I was like, gosh, I want to talk about D&D so bad. And apart from like the people that I played with, no one else in my life really knew it or wanted to talk with me about it. And I saw all these great TikToks that Haley was making about D&D. And I'm like, shit, I can do this. And so I decided to start it. And just like Haley, immediate success.
Weirdly quickly.
Weirdly immediate success.
The way that we both blew up was actually insane, cosmically.
Freaky. I was posting daily music content, getting... I was lucky to get 1,000 views on a video. And then the first D&D related post I made, I think shot up to like 50K views in like a day or two. I just, it was stunning. It blew me away.
It was wild.
And so then we continued posting D&D.
Had insane growth about it. We were just messaging each other the whole time, like, this is weird.
Hey, how did you feel when you hit, when this happened to you?
How did you handle this? You doing okay? Notice Hank Green liked your video. Is that weird for you?
It was really great to have someone to process it all with.
Yes.
Right.
Which is great. And then in January, Haley, because Haley had, do you want to talk about Marilyn a little bit?
Was it the same day you posted your first D&D video and it blew up? I posted first Sirens Cove video.
I think so, yeah.
I think it was the same day.
Might have been.
So one of the big things that got me on my growth on TikTok was the Sirens Cove, where I dressed up as a little elf waitress who loves you and is so excited you're here. She's so excited you're here and she wants to take care of you and she wants to have a good day. And it did very, very well. And I think we posted those on the same day.
It's almost like you planned it.
We did.
Which we didn't.
When we talk about like how we met and how well it went, every time we're like, I swear to God, we did not know how this was going to go. But yes, so Sirens Cove is something that I did. And theoretically still do. I just went through another move and need to set back up and get back to doing that. But when I hit 50,000 followers, I think, my friend and home DM was like,
it was 40.
It was 40. Hit both of those numbers within like a week.
Yeah, it was funny. It was like, we're going to celebrate you hitting 40K and we're going to schedule this live stream. And then you were at like 100K by the time
happened. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess... Yeah, so my friend and home game DM, Kyle, he's been on our show a couple times, was like, our home game group should stream like a Sirens Cove-based live stream just for anyone who wants to as like a little celebration for your success with this thing. And so we did that in January of 2021. Yes, smart.
And so I helped moderate the Twitch chat during that live stream. And I was also a very satisfied customer as a viewer.
Of how it went.
The live stream went really well. There was a lot of enthusiasm from people. It's the first time you had tried anything like that.
I'd never played D&D publicly before. Yeah, before that live stream.
And so that night, I was getting big ambitious ideas in my brain, and I was like, Haley, would you like to start a podcast with me? And we kind of conceptualized the podcast that night, really. Yeah. Because we very quickly, we kind of arrived at a point where it was like we sort of have an idea of sort of what the D&D TikTok space looks like. And there's a lot of streams. A lot of people were doing streams.
Right.
Still are.
We didn't at that time know of anyone who was doing a podcast. And so we thought that there was like, first of all, a good opportunity there to kind of like jump on that and to be like, hey, if we get this started quick,
We'll be the first ones.
Yeah, we could be like the D&D TikTok podcast, which was like a very exciting.
Which is not how we brand ourselves anymore, but but it was for a time.
So, and then it was like, well, we both live pretty busy lives outside of our TikTok. And so like, it would be rude to only have one of us DM. Like, that just seemed unfair.
Yeah, make one of us do all of the prep work all the time. Also, we were both very nervous.
So being able to just be like, oh, okay, we'll alternate. We'll do short adventures. And that takes care of the other big problem with D&D podcasts that people have, which is that they're dense and hard to get into.
Right.
Kind of like just it kind of one thing led to another. We kept talking about all of these ideas that we wanted to have. And then eventually we went to sleep. And then I got up the next morning.
Far too late.
Yes. And then I got up the next morning and I was like, well, like, that was a fun little brainstorming session, but I don't really know how serious she was about all of it. So I did what any normal person would do in this scenario. And I made a Google form.
With a single question on it.
And I said, do you want to start a D&D podcast with me? And I sent it to her and she said, yes.
He wanted it in writing immediately.
Oh, I love that.
Which is very normal.
And then I think the final piece to that story is that the original TikTok that I duetted that started our friendship, I adapted to create the Unprepared Casters theme song.
Yeah.
It's the same tune.
Got the same little ding at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
very
fun,
cute.
Fun little Easter egg. Yeah. That's awesome. Jinx. Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. And now you guys are on arc 7? 8?
Yes.
7?
Seven is about to finish releasing.
Yeah, so arc 7 finale will be releasing soon, and we're in the midst of recording arc 8 and in the midst of scheduling arc 9.
Arc 9.
So what does that look like on your guys' end? You're editing and tuning one, you're prepping and preparing another, and then planning yet another beyond that.
Yes, it's constant flow of post-production, production, and pre-production on separate projects at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot. It's kind of a lot. Like, pretty much the first thing we did as soon as we could was hire an editor to take care of, because that's so much work.
Arc one was rough for me because when we started the podcast, Haley was like, we need someone to edit it. And I was like, Haley, listen, I can edit audio. I went to design school. I can make us our podcast logo.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I can just do everything.
Don't worry. Yeah. That's good. And then it was like, and then I was like, oh, wait, work is work.
You have like a job.
Yes. And yes, I have a full-time job. So arc one, I struggled through getting all that edited and editing our Patreon content. And
you did such a good job.
Thank you. So yes, we hired an editor who's incredible. His name is Jared.
Who handles the large chunk of that like post-production, but then we're also involved in that process, doing a lot of other things. Gus adds the music. We have to get the episode descriptions and get everything scheduled. And I do our like inserts, intro, outro every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing the like prepping production for the arc that we're working on, which is arc 8 right now. And then because every arc we're working with different people and we have to get everything figured out comfortably ahead of time, I need like one more person to answer my messages. We're just about to schedule arc 9, which will be taking place recording through June and July. And we have to plan that all the way here in April.
On top of TikTok, on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't make TikToks anymore.
I do. Gus is a Minecraft streamer now.
we've both started a few different little side projects.
Yes.
Haley, you're making YouTube videos now,
too. I am. You know, because of all my free time.
Yeah, all your free time that you have. I would say that the bulk of the work, at least from my perspective, comes when I have to DM an arc, right?
Yes.
Because that's a whole lot. Because, like, I don't think I need to explain why that's an incredibly important job.
Podcast isn't very good without a good DM, if you can believe it.
Mm-hmm. So that's where most of the work comes from. And I'll beat this drum as much as I can. Google Forms solves so many problems.
So helpful.
It's like,
good.
Without like before having to like wrangle message individual people like, hey, what's your microphone situation?
Mm-hmm.
What photo would you like us to use when we post social graphics? What are your handles so we can promote you?
All of our safety information. Lines
and veils for safety. What is so like, and now we're just like, now we just send one link. We at everyone in our Discord channel, fill it out.
Here's your packet. Yeah. Your literal packet of information I need from you. And I need it now.
We didn't start doing that until arc 6.
And it was a game changer.
Yeah.
My God.
Game changer. And then it's just a whole lot of like you know, we're very lucky to be able to outsource a lot of our work now. So like we have someone doing character art and mm-hmm. background art and editing our main feed content and our Patreon content. So it's a
two
lot
editors
of
editors has been very yeah. nice.
So it's a lot of wrangling people, making sure that they have the files they need, that they know what they need to do in the in all different like the marketing and post-production mm-hmm. parts of the process.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it is. It is really
it
fun.
It actually yes. is really fun. It doesn't sound like fun when we say it like this, but I do have a lot of fun.
And it settles into a nice little weekly routine because yeah. it's like every Tuesday, I usually by Tuesday, I get like the edited session. Mm-hmm. And then I sit down on Tuesday and I have a nice little time being a fan of my own podcast and being like, what song would sound good here and being able to make that happen. And then Wednesday, we record our intro and our outro. Mm-hmm. And then we send it back to our editor and then an episode post.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Did yeah. you ever foresee a future when you guys were like, oh, yeah, let's do a podcast. Let's kick it off that you'd be in the top 100, top 50 Apple podcasts?
Gosh, I haven't checked in a long time. I used to check a lot when we first launched and I was still working retail. And I did a really boring job, which was stand outside of the retail store during COVID times and tell people all the COVID rules before they could come in
nice.
For like 8 hours at a time. Oh, it was great.
Sounds fun.
In heels. I love it. I wasn't allowed to wear comfortable shoes. But we had like a store iPad and I would just sit and open up like Chartable.
Yep.
And just like see how our show is doing.
I think how we handled and processed the first month or so of the podcast is a perfect indication of what our expectations were going into it. Because we were just
disbelief mm-hmm. the whole time.
It was stunning. It was yeah.
If you listen to episode 0 of Arc 1, because we launched our Patreon shortly before we released episode 0, just like get it up there, just make sure
day
it worked.
Before.
We weren't ever like people are gonna give us money right away. We're like just to make sure for launch we have it functioning. Whatever, we announced it on our socials because we'd announced the podcast. We're like, here's the Patreon for that. And one of our tiers, which we were like, nobody's going to sign on at the tier that's literally just like, get your name read yeah. for no other reason.
Yeah. Who would
just
want that?
Pay me to say your name. Like, it's just for people who really want to help us out. We had like 30 pre-launch at that tier. So
wow.
at the end of, yeah. So at the end of episode 0, it's just us being like, and we didn't think we would have this segment yet, but thank you.
It was literally the day before release and yeah. I... like we saw that it was happening and I remember messaging Haley and being like, should we record something now?
Like we didn't think we'd have a thing.
So if you, like, yeah, and I'm not sure if we actually, cause we released episode 0 and 1 on the same day. So I'm
we
not
did.
Sure if we
it,
tacked
it
that on
episode
to
one.
0 or 1, but if you go
either
back and
way.
Listen to it, you can hear basically live our reaction
processing.
To the success of the podcast.
Before it had even launched. Mm-hmm.
And now you guys have oh. upwards of 800 patrons.
Yes.
Yeah,
do.
I know.
It's insane. It truly is.
I don't really understand it yet. Maybe I will at some point.
Maybe someday.
One of the things that's always drawn me to both of your content is how genuine you represent yourselves in the space, the genuine excitement. I mean, even here on the podcast, like it's you can feel your genuine excitement about the things that you guys are doing. And this day and age, especially with content creators, it feels very... it's a job. So they treat it like a job. And it feels, I mean, you even used the you get to be a fan of your own show. Like, that's not something you hear out of a lot of content creators' mouths. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that it's probably that energy and focus that attracts so many folks to y'all. So now, as we continue down this little, you know, mind path of the podcast and being friends and creating content and everything like that, have you guys gotten to the band moment where there has been that tension? You know the tension I'm talking about. Somebody's, you know, got some bigger plans or bigger shoes that they want the content to fill and not everybody's on the same page.
Oh, like one of us has dreams the other one isn't ready
yeah,
for?
That exactly that.
I think we're
both very realistic about the space that we're in usually.
I think, yeah, we are both realistic about it. And we both have different goals of things that we want to do both inside the podcast and outside the podcast. I think as far as that's concerned, I would say I can think of one disagreement that we've had, but also like, so like for, all right, I'll just say it. So like, I didn't want to do a reunion arc, right? So arc 7 was, Yeah. Arc 7, which is about to finish, is our Arc 1 reunion.
Because it's our anniversary.
It's our anniversary. And Haley was like, it would be so cute if we brought everyone back. Because we joked about doing it when we started the podcast. And I was like.
And it's a fun little celebration for the way crazy amount of success we've had.
Exactly.
Go back to the people we started.
And so I was. And from my perspective, I was like, well, that like goes against the whole theme of our podcast, that we'll just be like all the other ones, or like it's, you know, or it would be hard to attract new listeners during that time. So there were a few reasons why I didn't want to do it. An idea that I pitched was that we would do a reunion, but I would DM it instead. That. And Haley was like, no, these are my
babies.
And so I think that, like, even though, like, we do have our disagreements, it's like, I think that I know when to, like, I know what hills I want to die on, right? And so it's like, and, like, Haley is, like, both my literal business partner and my best friend. So it's like, there are some things that are way more important than, like, getting my way on a particular thing. And also, I was wrong.
Arc 7 was good.
Arc 7 was good. It's been very successful.
You had fun.
Everyone's enjoyed
it. We had our number one day of downloads ever.
And number two, I think.
And number two.
So.
Because of the cool anniversary arc that we did, guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so. So I said I was wrong.
I love you.
So yeah.
You found
a
way to do it that was fun for you.
But also, what I will say is that rock bands, the tension doesn't start until a few years down the road.
Oh no.
And we've only been doing this for a year.
We have to look forward to that.
So check back in.
Cause like, I don't know, people, especially when we started and like we were just constantly like, so this is happening and we're scared. People would be like, what's your biggest dream for the podcast? And we'd be like, I don't know. I guess I want to play with Brennan Lee Mulligan someday.
Yeah.
Is that anything? But like, that's kind of still where we're.
And we look at, as far as like ambitions for how big we want the podcast to get, we see what fandoms look like for really big D&D podcasts.
God.
And we don't want it.
No.
I don't want
a Critical Role fandom. They scare me.
Yeah. I'm a very sensitive guy. If I see someone say something bad about me on the internet, it ruins my day. And if our fandom was as big as like Dimension 20s or Critical Role, that would be every day.
It would be happening.
So I'm very happy with our podcast the way it is right now.
Not that no one can ever criticize us on the internet. Yeah. Obviously, you're allowed to do that, especially if we fuck up. Or
everyone's
even if you don't like our vibes.
To criticize Haley on the internet.
It's okay.
Jokes.
Like, it doesn't also ruin my day. It's the ADHD, love.
And I think, at least, you know, looking, you know, cross-sectioning Critical Role, it comes down to the community that you build and you foster. You both have...
Yes.
Again, that very genuine personality through your TikToks, through your content. And you farm and you focus those kinds of people into your audience. Whereas, you know, Critical Role, they got a little bigger than their, you know, shoes.
Huge, huge.
And it can be hard to moderate. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've been really lucky. I could talk for 20 minutes about all the different ways that both me and Haley have been lucky, but particularly as it pertains to this, because like when, you know, it's a challenge that you can read about a lot of times online. It's a challenge to port an audience from one platform to another.
Especially from TikTok.
Totally. Especially from TikTok.
Anybody who's tried can tell you that.
So it's even hard. Though we both had sizable followings on TikTok before we launched the podcast, we knew how much of a challenge it was going to be because TikTok is such a casual platform.
Right.
Yes.
I follow tons of people on TikTok who I don't really listen to podcasts. Right.
So
not like, anymore.
So yeah, not especially not anymore. Yeah. So like I follow tons of people on TikTok who, if they're like, I'm starting a podcast, I'd be like, cool. Next.
Good for
you.
So,
yeah. So. So, like, we really didn't know if this was just going to be a failed experiment or what. And not only were we able to successfully port our audience, I mean, obviously not in numbers, but, like, we were able to successfully port an audience from TikTok to our podcast. But the overwhelming lack of toxicity
has been amazing.
In our audience has been shocking, especially just because, like, I'm pretty internet. I don't know. The internet's a horrible place. Like, I'm like, everything's bad. So the fact that, like, we have this little pocket of people who are just like, I don't know. It's just like, we've never, like, an example, we have a patron Discord server. We've never had to kick anyone out.
Wow.
Which is just stunning.
Had it for over a year. Never had to be like, this person has to go.
Everyone's been well behaved. It's been incredible. Awesome.
There's what, 600? 800?
Well, not everyone. All of our patrons are not out, everyone so it's like has 700. Joined the patron.
But it's like 700 people on there. Not everybody's active, of course. But a year, we've never had to kick anybody out.
And we never even come close. I mean, sometimes we've had to be like, hey, don't say that. And people's been like, oh, sorry.
Sometimes we've been like, that came off really rude. And people are like, I did not mean to.
Right. No, that's cool. Have you guys independently gotten to the point where, like, burnout is starting to, you know, bite at your heels?
Burnout has swallowed me and spit me out several times already.
And multiple times, Gus has been like, maybe this is the last arc. And I go, maybe it's not. And we revisit this in 2 weeks, and we'll see how you're feeling. And every time he's been like, actually, I've decided to do the best show ever.
First of all, if I ever decide I can't do the podcast anymore, I'm going to give you at least like a 3-arc notice.
I'm holding you to that.
Okay.
You've just said it on recording.
And yes, that's very true. A lot of times, the work eclipses the fulfillment for me, and I get really, really burned out and frustrated, and it comes a lot of times from the podcast just filling up every single crack of my life, just not only just of the actual things I have to do, but just of like just because of like the things that I think about and the things that I put my time into, because it's a lot of, I think a lot of the burnout comes from the pressure that I feel from having this podcast and having so many people enjoy the podcast so much. We have a few thousand people that listen to every single episode, and running a D&D game to a group of friends versus running a D&D game to an imaginary internet auditorium with thousands of people in it, that's going to weigh on your brain. That's going to make you like only think about something, like if you have an arc coming up that you need to run, only think about it until you figure it out in your brain.
Right.
So like there have been times where I've been like, God, like I haven't been like texting my friends lately. Like I haven't been like I've like not been engaging with a lot of people that aren't involved in this business that I'm running. Like there have been times where I've just been like, I kind of miss just being a guy who just like sits around, does his day job and hangs out with friends and goes to bed. But then, like Hay said, I remember that we have the best show in the world. And
it takes like 2 weeks. You'll occasionally have a really bad 2 weeks. Be like, everything is bad. And then I'm like, what if somebody else does the music? And you go, but I like doing the music.
And then, I really do.
And then we get through it. But like, yeah, that's, and I think for you that manifests in these like big, you know, feeling really bad for a long time. I mostly just have days occasionally where I forget that it's like a fun thing we do. And I just think it's just like my fourth job that I have. And like those days aren't good. Those are usually days where I'm just not fans of the internet in general or like my presence on it, which happens when you have a lot of people looking at you and talking to you like you're not a person on a regular basis. Every now and then you're like, what if I just nuke everything?
the amount of, I think one of the reasons, it's like, I don't really post on TikTok anymore. A lot of the times because the podcast fills up all the cracks in my life, like I said. But also, like Haley was talking about, people on TikTok don't talk at you like you're a person in the comment section. Never. And like, that's not an experience that brings me joy and fulfillment. Like, there's only so many high numbers that I can look at and be like, nice, before it's like, oh, now I have to like read what the people are saying.
Only some of the high numbers are good. When comment numbers get too high, I'm going through it currently.
I know,
Haley. Let me tell ya.
I would, if it was possible for you to give me the ability to turn off your comment section.
The thing is, I'm in the creator fund and comments are part of the analytics they look at. And at this point, TikTok's just unusable to me, starting like 2 days ago and probably for the rest of the week. And I will just occasionally clear out my notifications so I don't look at the number. And I just won't read any of it.
Would argue, this is a conversation we've had before. this is, you're just getting what we regularly talk about. I would argue that the emotional distress that mm-hmm. you get from all these from all these comments is not worth the buck or two that the creator fund would give you.
I gave into that once for sure. I did private a video once because too many people were saying I'm what's wrong with all females. And I was like, wow, I have to go. But this time it's mostly just angry 35-year-olds calling me a zoomer. And I can mostly handle that. It's annoying. But like, whatever. You know what? I might delete it just because too many people say I look like I'm in my 30s. And I actually am sick of hearing that as a 22-year-old human being. Let me just say that for the record.
Yeah, so that's why I don't really post a lot on TikTok anymore. We've even though I think Haley's gotten it worse than me. So I don't know how you keep it up.
The size of my audience and the fact that I'm a femme-appearing person on the internet, it's always going to be
those
like
are two
that.
Two strikes. But yeah, I get way more fulfillment out of the podcast. Like the podcast has made me feel so much better than TikTok ever made me feel. Mm. So that's why I put my eggs in that basket instead.
Yeah, you burned out on TikTok hard. We used to both post daily.
Yeah, that stopped for me real quick after the podcast.
After the podcast launch, so true. Yeah.
Well, that's like my favorite thing about content creation is, you know, testing and dabbling and then finding where your actual interest lies. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you were able to find that fulfillment and that the podcast has been as rewarding as it has been. Just keeping with the podcast train here for a couple more questions. How has it been working with, I want to say celebrity, but you guys are also celebrities in of yourselves. So working with celebrities like Zach Oyama and Travis McElroy. Oh my God. I've been sitting here for like an hour because it'll be the one time that he listens to an episode and I say it wrong and he just goes after me on TikTok.
Oh, people never get their last name right the first couple times.
Also, it's funny. You sent us an email ahead of time, kind of giving us the lowdown of what we're going to talk about. And you also referred to us as celebrities in that email. And I went to Haley and I'm like, we're not. That's not right.
We can't think of ourselves.
Why'd he call us
yet?
That?
We like the second that either of us refers to ourselves as a celebrity,
we're
knock
done.
Us out, knock us out, delete our accounts. We have to go.
We have to go. It's
you said to Zach Oyama's face, you called him either a big name or a celebrity, one of those phrases.
Yeah.
And he cringed off screen.
No, yes. So I remember when we were with Zach, because I'll answer all the questions with talking about this because I try my best. I think I pride myself in my ability to not get starstruck. Mm-hmm. However, Zach Oyama in particular ahead of time, I was very worried about how I was going to handle that because like I don't listen to a lot of McElroy content. So although I was aware of Travis's presence, sort of knew what to expect from him and knew a bit of his content, I wasn't like hard eyes, star eyes. Oh my God, it's Travis.
He's never
McElroy.
Been a McElroy guy.
Yeah. Zach Oyama, on the other hand, like Dimension 20 changed my relationship with D&D. Mm-hmm. Zach Oyama consistently makes my favorite player characters in that show every single time. When quarantine started, Zach Oyama streamed Animal Crossing on his Twitch channel for a couple months. And that like got me through the doldrums of lockdown. Like I my fan creator relationship with Zach Oyama is a strong one. And so I really didn't want to just gush while he was on. I made sure to like let him know like that it was an honor to have him on or whatever. And in our talkback show that we recorded, I made sure to ham it up to like show that I was being facetious. I was
because
Zach asked how often we do one shots, and I was like, "Well, we only really do them when we get a celebrity like you on, buddy." Like that's sort of
and
how
he's
I
like,
did it.
Ah! No, you can't say that to me.
So the concept of celebrity is so weird. Like I was thinking about this before we recorded, actually, because when Haley and I were like, "We're not." About like how you even define it. It's so hard to define it because of how many people there are and how many different fandoms exist and how massive the D&D space is on the internet. Yeah.
It's like, huge.
For every person who's heard of Unprepared Casters, there's hundreds who have no idea who we are.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what the ratio is, but you get the idea. So.
Easily hundreds.
Yeah, easily.
No, yeah, it's been Because I remember when I had to pitch to Travis McElroy to be on the show because I'm mutuals with him on TikTok. So that's how I That's how you get him is you got to be mutuals with him on the app so you can message him. So I had to be the one to message Travis, and I am a McElroy guy. I have been a Mac guy. Getting that follow back from Mr. McElroy
you
was
posted
a
about
wild.
It when he followed you
I
back.
I did. He can't look at me, but I had to message him like, "Hi, I have a podcast and we would love to have you on." So it was a big like ramble message. And he sent me back his email. It was like, "Can you hit me the details on my email?" I was like, "You can't give me your email." So then I made Gus write an email.
I love writing emails.
Gus
I'm
is
so good
at
it.
Emails.
It's so much easier for me to delve into just professional business speak than it is to like be like casual and chummy with people, especially in writing.
Right. I always go overly casual, so it's great to have Gus there to be like, "We're going to sound like business people. We're going to sound like we do a thing professionally." Like, "Oh, okay. We do it professionally?" But the fact that I'm technically a professional DM will never...
you had amateur DM in your TikTok or in your Twitter bio, and I'm like, "Haley, you got to change that."
You've been paid for this. Yeah, so that was wild. That whole process was insane. Emailing, like, because the thing about Travis and Zach, I'm a baby. Hello, I'm 22 years old. I'm a baby. Travis and like McElroy content I've been consuming since I was in high school. College humor content I've been consuming since like late elementary school.
Yeah, middle school for me. Yep.
Like,
right.
All of that. Like, so these were people who were like formative to my sense of humor and storytelling. So much of like how I perceive comedy was like created by the content that those two people are in. So that's the part that's wild for me. I don't care that they're big in D&D space. It's like, I love those guys.
If we ever get Jake Hurwitz on our podcast, I'm going to melt into the floor.
I'll die. Mm-hmm. We can't. We can't have
There's
Jake
some people
Hurwitz
that might, we just can't.
That's almost where I'm at with Brennan. I don't know if we'd make it through that day.
Because like, here's the thing is that, like I said, I think I pride myself on my ability to power through being starstruck.
I can be so casual while I'm near somebody. And then the second that when you tell me they're in the Zoom waiting room, I die.
Yeah. I'm like, Zach's here, letting him in. Here we go.
And then I'm screaming. And then the second they're gone, I'm also screaming. But while they're in there, I am so cool and normal.
And for me, I think especially like if I was a player in the Zach one shot, I think it would have been worse for me. Yeah, because when I DM, my brain goes into work mode.
Sure.
Right? I have my little outline up on my screen. I'm like, all right, I've got to hit all these beats. I've got to make sure we do it in time. Like,
you and
I've got to
prepared DM nonsense.
And what I've learned really back to the burnout thing is that I think I go much easier on myself the more that I ironically prepare.
Sure.
So like being able to like have that full outline and feel like I know what I'm here to do and I know generally how things are going to go as much as you can in D&D.
You
but so
better.
Yeah, so like so even though Zach was one of my players, my brain was just like, I'm a dungeon master running a D&D session, going to make sure that this is going to be a good one. Here we go. I truly like a little bit blacked out. Like
I do the same. I absolutely do the same. Literally, it was so funny because I DM'd the Travis one, right? And like I could quote word for word things that we had talked about with Travis before we started playing.
Yeah.
Literally word for word, I was telling people, I was like, so here's what we were talking about, and here's what he said, and then here's what we said, and then here's what he said again. And then we started playing, blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the session? No goddamn clue.
I really look
could
forward to people keep telling me that Winter Summer School is good. And I can't wait
to
find
again,
out for myself.
That's gonna be great. There's a bit about mops, I think.
Man. Yeah, I remember that. Brief spoiler.
Mops get brought up. What a spoiler.
I know. Haley's much more spoiler casual than me.
I just say things.
Haley has, on multiple occasions, just told me a twist that she's planning for a podcast arc.
I need to know if it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Just peeling back the layers a little bit.
Yeah.
At the start of the episode, I brought up that, you know, you guys are a dynamic duo. Just going through this conversation, you guys are a very great pairing against each other. And that's, again, probably, I'd go out on a limb to say it's probably a bit of the success behind the whole thing. So if I'm to assume right, Haley, you're probably more of a pantster DM.
Yes. I don't prepare anything.
A what?
A pantster.
What is it? I've never heard that term before.
So there's pantsters and plansters. Pantsters do it by the seat of their pants, and plansters
seat of their pants.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
I recorded two episodes of Arc 7, so it was five hours of recording with a single page of handwritten notes.
No, that's not what happened. You started the day with a single line on a sheet of paper. By the time
the day There was the outline of a dungeon on it.
My mistake. Each game of D&D and campaign of D&D requires a different method of planning, at least for me. Mm-hmm. I could talk for a long time about how I plan.
Gus has planned every single arc differently, and he gets really into it, and it's really good every time. And he never shows me any of his plans, and he never spoils anything for me, which is pretty rude. But sometimes he shows me what his layouts look like, and they're always very cool.
Yeah.
I just show up.
I'm trying to think about like what the most sometimes my plans involve significant uncertainty. So I think I do have a certain pantsing ability. Did I say that? Pantsing is when you pull someone's pants down.
Improv.
I do have improv ability. So for example, at the end of arc 2, I knew that I was going to leave a really big plot point up to a roll. And so I was going to have Haley do a roll. I was going to do a roll as well. Depending on who won that contest, they were either going to teleport into a force cage and be trapped by the antagonist of the arc, or if Haley beat the roll, they were going to teleport onto an empty roof and have the opportunity to make their escape.
I rolled great.
She rolled great. I think it really was that I rolled bad. But
I rolled great.
So it's really easy to plan out what happens when they get caught because I'm in control if they get caught. But them getting out, I had no idea what they were going to do next. So I was really, my heart was racing before that because it's like, this role determines how I'm going to have to DM the rest of the session, whether or not I know what's going to happen or not. So I do all of the planning I possibly can while, first of all, with each arc, I've gotten better at learning the scale of the arc and knowing that a page outline for two episodes is all you really need. And also making sure to leave in a certain amount of uncertainty into each arc so that I'm not just writing a story and telling it to five people.
Yeah, there has to be a certain amount of structuring and railroading. Railroading is a derogatory term for it, obviously.
It's a loaded term, yeah.
But structure has to occur when you do arcs the way that we do them, which is 6 to 8 episodes and no longer than that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it has to end. It has to have a decent ending, and it has to have a decent ending in one of these three episode options. So I say I don't prepare. I have structure happening. I don't prepare like Gus does, because I would die. I would die and explode.
And I would die and explode if I did what you do. So that's what makes you the dragons and me the dungeon.
Yes. If you showed up to DM for one of your heroes with a single with an outline of a dungeon and that's about it. Because that's kind of how I did it for Mr.
McElroy. Outline? Did you know? You knew what was in the rooms though, right?
Yeah, but it was kind of all in flux the whole time, just depending on what you did. Mostly I was looking at an outline of a dungeon, and then at one point I covered half of it up and went, not these rooms.
I will say that I'll do that too. I love having a strong base to fall back
and
on.
And just doing whatever.
Right, but that doesn't mean that in the moment, in the session, I'm no, this would be better. And I just pivot. I think that because a lot of times DMs do so much prep and they fall in love with their prep so much. They're this has to happen. This has to happen.
And then they deny player agency, which is a nightmare.
Right. So being able to have that foundation of prep while also allowing for anything to be possible. Asterisk, we have a podcast. Episodes have to end. The story has to end. So there's a lot of different things to balance.
Yeah.
Now, what is your favorite? I'll go with online just to make it easy, and I can link them in the show notes. Your favorite online tool while DMing, whether it's for improv or planning?
I use Google Docs, and that's about it. Your turn.
I've gotten super into the app Notion lately. Notion. Yeah, there you go. Great. Notion is great for two. It's an outlining app that is like way better than any other outlining app I've ever used. And it has a lot of different features that I don't use yet. I only just started using it. But there's two really simple things that it does that changes everything for me. The first is that it's really, really easy to change the color of text on Notion. And I know when I'm running a D&D session, I'm not going to have the time to look at my outline for a fraction of a second matters when you're DMing, right? Yeah. So like being able to just be like, okay, all of my NPCs are colored in red, and I glance over that and my eyes can instantly find what NPC I need to look at and know what I need to know about that person. The other thing that's great about Notion is that it has toggle down outlines. So I can outline a whole thing, put it all under toggles, and only click and open up like the scene that's happening at the moment, because that really helps like calm me down. So I'm not looking at a wall of text all the time, right? It's like giving myself the tools to help my brain operate the way that it needs to operate to run a D&D session. Having something that is like as readable and easy to quickly glance at and know what you need to know. Notion is great. Also, Mila Note. I want to shout that out as well. That's good for brainstorming and more general thoughts rather than outlining. Yeah.
And they sound great.
They are.
If you could go back, we'll just say 1 year, and you could give yourself one piece of advice when it comes to y'all's relationship, the podcast, content creation, or just managing your online persona, what would you tell yourself?
Interesting. Haley, you got something? You wanna buy me some time?
No.
The thing is that like I think that mostly like I'm very happy with where we're at right now. It's there's not like a huge big like grave error that we've made that I'd want to try to correct. I guess I would just try to let myself know to try to encourage my past self to compartmentalize and to basically what I'm trying to say is that I would love to impart on my past self the wisdom that I have now of being like, this podcast does not have to fill up every single crack of your life, even though like it's very important to you that the product of this podcast is good. Right. A lot of times I can communicate to that people very intensely and consistently. And so I think what my best advice I could give my past self is about just, I guess, how I handle my feelings about the podcast and how I use that when I interact with people. So I'm not just like always like bugging people and being weird and intense about stuff. And because I've never had to like manage freelance workers before or.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to suddenly feel like you're bossing somebody around, but actually you're just letting them know when you need something done by. But you don't want to be like mean about it, you know.
So I guess just like it's so funny. It's like, yeah, I would tell myself to like chill out a little bit. I need to chill out now. So like I could tell myself that now and I don't know how much of a difference it would make.
I think mine would be telling my past self to talk to their friends more often about things that aren't the podcast, especially like for the couple months after launch. It's like all that would consume my brain.
It was the only thing I talked about for a while.
Yeah. Could talk about. And at some point I was like, your friends are annoyed with you. They don't want to talk about this. They have their own lives. What is wrong with you? Ask them about their day. Oh, I just got so wrapped up in it.
Every single time someone asks me what I've been up to, I go through a whole thing of like, God, do I tell them or not?
I usually don't.
But then like I have nothing to talk about if I don't.
Oh man, I've been spending time with my cats and
works great.
Yeah, works fine. I've been spending a lot of time on the internet.
Heard of it?
Surfing the web, you could say.
That's awesome. Well, I'm gonna put a pin in this. Thank you both for coming on, peeling back the layers of not only your friendship, but the podcast. So let's do some sign-offs. Where can we find each of you? Where can we find the podcast? And all that mamma jamma.
So our podcast is called Unprepared Casters. We post every Monday. You'll find it wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. We also have a collection of VODs of our past live streams on our YouTube channel, Unprepared Casters on YouTube. as well. If you'd like to follow the show on social media, we're Unprepared Casters on Instagram and Unprep Casters on Twitter. No aired. They didn't let us.
Too long.
Too long. As for me personally, I'm Gus Rachels on Twitter and Instagram, and Gus the Bard for now on TikTok. And I've also recently gotten into Twitch streaming. I'm playing Minecraft on Twitch whenever I have a free moment. Gus Rachels there as well. R-A-C-H-E-L-S. I think the Gus is self-explanatory.
Is it?
I should have G-U-S. And then the other thing I said. Great. Haley.
Rachel's Gus on Twitch.
No. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Hi, my name's Haley. You can find me on TikTok at WhipJack, W-H-I-P, Jack. You can find me on Twitter at WhippedJack, W-H-I-P-P-E-D, Jack. WhipJack was taken.
By an awful, awful man.
It's a crusade that Gus has been going on. It's trying to free up that app for me. It's because the guy who has it's a bad person. It's not because we so desperately need me to have...
It's like a 60-40 situation.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. And you can also find me on YouTube. Haley Whipjack is my name over there. I have a D&D advice video and also a D&D silly video and also a really long video about Ice Age, if you want to get in on that.
I just found out that the studio behind Ice Age closed its doors.
Yeah, they closed when 20th Century Fox got acquired by Disney because Disney did not need another animation studio. If you can believe it.
What?
And that's why the sixth Ice Age movie is so bad. Hot take.
Haven't you not even seen
the sixth
Ice Age
movie? No, I haven't seen the sixth Ice Age movie.
What if it's the best one?
It's not.
How do you know? You haven't seen it.
I've seen the trailer. They didn't even get Dennis Leary back. They couldn't get Ray Romano. What is he doing?
All I can say is I'm glad that Scrat got the final eight.
So am I. I'm very excited
that
for him.
Sounds weird.
No, I'm very happy for him.
Did it take him six movies, even nine?
So technically he had the nut the whole time, but this is the first time he's gotten to eat the nut. It was in a little thing that they just released recently. Like a send-off from Bukai.
Scrat Tales.
That is another thing they're doing, isn't it? Where he's got a kid. Yeah. Can't wait.
Anyway, you have to wrap up your podcast right
now. Can we just talk about Ice Age for a little
while?
This is
going to be the best little just fade out.
Great.
You know, thank you both again for joining me on the show tonight.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.